I can see the gap between actual math and Amazon math getting bigger. Let's just say I hate Amazon math because it's not fair, and math is always fair. Welcome to Emilia's Behind the Scenes Author Diary, an exclusive look at the behind-the-scenes misadventures of a 30-something mystery author. Discover how close she is to releasing her latest novel, hear exciting details about upcoming writing projects, and discover the lessons she has learned along her writing journey so you don't have to make the same mistakes. You can find the episode show notes and lots more information at authorpreneurpodcast.com/podcast. Hello, writers. This episode of the Behind the Scenes Author Diary is riddled with successes and failures, so nothing new here. During May and June, I experimented with some low-budget book promotions on a 99-cent promotion. Naturally, things didn't go as expected. In this episode, I dive into why I believe my low-budget book promotions went horribly wrong. Before I delve into all of that, I discuss what I achieved in terms of writing and share a milestone that I've hit with writing The Candidate. Plus, I discuss progress I made with Duplicity. And I share an update on the new income stream that I've added to my business, as well as some lessons learned. So stay tuned for all of that and much more. Just to let you know, this episode was recorded on Friday, the 23rd of July, so this show is primarily me looking back at May and June. In the same spirit as the previous episode, I finally caught up on the show's backlog. After this show, I'm back on schedule. If you're on YouTube, you'll notice that I've gone back to an audio-only version of the podcast. I've had to pull the plug on the video podcast episodes because I couldn't do everything and something had to go. Throughout this episode, I'll be referencing tools and services that I've used. If you're interested in reading the transcript or would like links to anything that I've mentioned in the show, then check out the very long blog post or edited transcript at authorpreneurpodcast.com/BTS040. And if you're new to this podcast, then I want to say a huge thank you for stopping by and trying out my show. To those of you who have been faithfully listening, thank you for regularly listening in and supporting me. Your support means more to me than you know. By the end of May, I completed 13 hours and 15 minutes of writing for The Candidate. During these writing hours, I wrote scenes 12 through to 18. And I also wrote the first draft of the book description that will appear on all of the ebook retailers and on the back of the paperback editions. Eventually, I hit a snag and got stuck on a scene where a character refuses to speak English with Detective Anwar Khan. This scene leads Anwar to approach James about accompanying him on his investigations to provide a translation. At risk of overstating the obvious, it's an important scene because it provides a somewhat believable reason for a detective and a journalist to work together on a case. While I was down the rabbit hole obsessing over this one scene, I came across a few blog posts and Reddit threads that I found useful. I'll share links to these blog posts and Reddit threads in the show notes, in your favourite podcasting app, and over on the blog post. As I was writing scenes 15 and 16, I had to put the writing on hold in the name of research because I don't want to be adding new words in the revision process. Why, I hear you ask? I hate revision, and the less time I spend revising, the better, for me at least. To write scenes 15 and 16, I researched parts of cathedral-style churches, including holy water and the difference between the Church of England and Catholic church buildings. In June, I completed 15 hours of writing on The Candidate. Before I got started on adding new words to the first draft, I uploaded scenes 12 to 15 to HeyBeta. A few days later, I went through and made edits on scenes 1 to 14 based on the alpha reader's feedback. In that same week, I also started brainstorming hook options for the book description that I wrote in May. After all of those tasks were completed, I wrote scenes 19 to 24, and I'm excited to announce that I've reached the start of the climax of The Candidate. I now have two climactic scenes to write and two scenes that serve as a denouement or resolution of the story. In the denouement, I've tried to learn from the mistakes of the past and provide a story with a stronger, happy or happy for now ending for James, but not for the bad guys. Also, I've just realized that I might have made a mistake in the climax scenes, but they haven't been written yet, so that'll be an easy fix. Upon finishing scene 24, I needed to circle back and make foreshadowing edits in scene 19 because of something I overlooked during the outline phase. And to be honest, there's always something that you overlook during the outline phase, no matter if you go through and edit your outline or not. But when you edit your outline, you're more likely to catch more things than, say, if you didn't edit, obviously. By the end of June, I've reached the beginning of the climax of The Candidate, and the last 7 chapters were uploaded into Hey Beta, ready to be read by my alpha reader. Now that I've mentioned this, I've realized that I've forgotten to let my alpha reader know that these chapters are available for her to read. However, there is a silver lining to this, because this gives me an opportunity to go back and add questions for my alpha reader under certain chapters. There are certain questions that I need feedback on before I can go through and make a one pass revision of The Candidate. No writing on the revised draft of Duplicity was done in May, but I did start working on Duplicity in June. During that month, I completed 6 hours of writing. I created a list of questions raised in each scene within the first 3 acts of Duplicity, which cover scenes 1 to 50. After I created this list, I went through and searched for the answers to the questions on the list. As a part of the answers, I highlighted the scene number where the reader discovers the answer to the question. This list of question and answers is color-coded according to 3 categories. The 3 categories are questions not answered in Duplicity but will be answered in later books in the series. Number 2, loose threads that need to be resolved at the end of Act 4. Number 3, loose threads that need to be resolved at the end of Act 3. Thanks to this endeavor, I discovered that there are 2 minor threads that I had forgotten to wrap up by the end of Act 3 that the reader needs to know at the start of Act 4. Because I'm still writing the revised draft, it's going to be easy for me to go back and make these foreshadowing edits to the draft. Next, I made changes suggested by the alpha reader over on Hey Beta in Scrivener. I'm glad I did this because the list was getting long. By the way, I have 3 books sitting in Hey Beta: The Candidate, Duplicity, and Entitled to Murder. I thought I would mention that in case you were confused about what I've got going on. Now for the somewhat tragic part of the update. I found it difficult to write on the hot days from Thursday the 10th of June to Sunday the 13th of June. Our apartment got so hot that it was difficult to think and function, for me at least. This is super embarrassing because I grew up in Brisbane, Australia, which has a similar temperature to the state of Florida. But in my defense, the buildings in the United Kingdom, or at least London, are not built with the heat in mind. If you've heard something useful in this episode that was helpful to you and you'd like to support the show, then buy me a coffee for as little as $2 at buymeacoffee.com/author AD Hay. In May, I received a new 5-star rating on the Amazon US store. Naturally, my average rating changed from 3.5 to 3.4, but the Amazon UK store has increased slightly. The average changed from 3.5 to 3.6. WTF. So the lower ratings are valued more on Amazon than someone who enjoyed the book. That's based on my very small pool of data. If you add up all the ratings that I've received and calculate the average rating, then my book should be rated 3.5 on the US store. It's not a large difference, but as my reviews grow, I can see the gap between actual math and Amazon math getting bigger. Let's just say I hate Amazon math because it's not fair, and math is always fair because there's no bias. Shouldn't all ratings have an equal weight? Criticism and love should be given equal value. A 2-star rating shouldn't hold more value than a 5-star rating. It's almost as if Amazon is saying to their reader base that your opinion is less valid because it's not critical. And I think it's disturbing. Mm-hmm. during May and June, I had a 40th birthday sale where I priced missing at 99 cents in all available territories. To help spread the word for this sale, I used Book Angel, Crave Books, Just Kindle Books, Awesome Gang, Book Doggy, Book Runes, and Facebook ads. I've decided to stop sharing my download numbers because apparently it's a breach of the terms and conditions of certain stores. And that's not cool, but I must be good. The Book Angel promotion ran for 5 days and it was free. So the readers who frequent the Book Angel website tend to be on Amazon, Kobo, and Barnes & Noble. Over on Crave Books, I purchased a newsletter, website, and social media promotion for $40. At the same time, I purchased a website and social media promotion on Just Kindle Books for $18. I also purchased a website, newsletter, and social promotion with Awesome Gang for $10. In June, I purchased a 1-day website and newsletter promotion with Book Doggy for $20. And what did I get for this promotion? My book was shoved at the bottom of the email. I'm talking so far down that you had to click a link to see my book. Obviously, I'm not happy. Be careful with these guys because if the email is full, they won't tell you. They'll just shove your book so far down the list that no one will see it. And that's not cool. They should be selling the visible space, not the secret space that very few people will click to view. On Monday the 14th of June, I applied for a promotion with Book Runes. I filled out the form and got no response back, not even an automated reply telling me I filled out the form. Eventually, Book Runes got back to me at the last minute, as in the day before the promotion was due. Late at night on the 16th of June, I had to pay the $25 fee for the promotion. I have to admit, I don't love the no communication that comes with small businesses in the indie author space. There's a part of me that understands that they're a one-man band operation, but they have no excuse for the lack of communication because a lot of these emails are automated now. Rant over, now back to talking about these book promotions. Let's just say that I'm not very impressed by these promotions and will probably not use them again in the future. However, these are not free promotions and it could be an issue in regards to timing and the current economic climate. Or this could be a byproduct of using cheap promotional sites. You get what you pay for. This could be a 99 cent thing and the fact that my book isn't free, but I'm tired of chasing freebie seekers because they complain about interesting things and quite often you don't get people that are actually in your genre. You'll just get people who will just take whatever free books they can get their hands on, and these tend to not lead to quality book reviews. So I think I might have to start spending more money and stop doing these low budget ad stacking, because it's clearly not working. But that's my pessimistic rant, my second pessimistic rant of this podcast. A few days before my birthday, I boosted a Facebook post with a link to my BookFunnel sales page promoting links to the stores. And I'm starting to think that the Books to Read link performs better, and you're about to find out why. The cost of the advertisement was £40, excluding any sales taxes. Over a course of 11 days, the 99 cent missing promotion received 8,743 impressions with 142 clicks. This means the cost per click was 28 pence. Unfortunately, the sales figures for this time period are even more tragic than this. So basically, I sucked at advertising this time round. By the way, I sucked at a greater level than before. I would never say that my download figures or sales figures based on these ads have been spectacular. They've been far from that. But this time it sort of reached an all-time low. In June, I received my very first pre-made logo design job through my brand new website, LaVillain Book Covers. Actually, it was in the Etsy store that's associated with my website, LaVillain Book Covers. After my first job, I realized that I was pricing my services too low and needed to make a few changes. This meant changing the job process, pre-made logo prices, and product descriptions across my Etsy store and website store. And it took more time than expected. That's just the nature of web building. Something always crops up that requires me to research a solution. After I increased my prices, I panicked and believed that no one would buy my services at that price, but I'll have to wait and see and not make any rash decisions. So that's all the tasks I completed in terms of writing, book marketing, and email marketing. In July, I want to finish writing the candidate and start my one pass revision by the end of the month. The next episode of this podcast will be another diary episode where I will continue to discuss my writing and book marketing endeavors. Actually, now that I've made those comments about my Facebook ads sucking, I'm probably going to create a spreadsheet and actually track the impressions, click-through rate, and the price per click. And compare like for like, as in compare the current Facebook ad for missing at 99 cents compared to other times where I've priced missing at 99 cents. But in saying that, they have actually changed something to do with how Facebook can actually track people through phones. So maybe this could be why things have changed for me. But I'll create that spreadsheet and I'll get back to you and sort of share my thoughts on that. I'll share that in the next Behind the Scenes Author Diary episode. If you have any questions or have tips on book marketing that you'd love to share with me, please come over to the blog post at authorpreneurpodcast.com/BTS040 and share your thoughts in the comments section. Thank you for listening and happy reading and writing, everybody. Thank you for listening to Amelia's Behind the Scenes Author Diary. You can find the episode show notes, back catalogue episodes, and lots more information at authorpreneurpodcast.com/podcast. I'm your host, Amelia, and I'll see you in the next Behind the Scenes Author Diary episode.